I'll invite you to take your Bibles with me, if you would please, and turn to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. So we've been going chapter by chapter. The last two chapters, 12 and 13, have been chapters that have kind of given us a little bit of an overview. It's sort of a parenthesis in the middle of the book. Chapter 12 went all the way back to the time when God chose a woman, the woman, the wonder that had the crown of the stars and the sun and the moon and all of those things involved with her, which was Israel. And the dragon came into view and how he tried to swallow up the child that the woman would give birth to, which was, of course, Christ, and how the Christ was caught up. That all was seen in a broad stroke over the history of Israel, just sort of a broad view of history of Israel in chapter 12, and how that Michael the archangel would come forth and do battle with the devil and cast him down and all of that. And then in chapter 13, we saw more specifically and more honing in on the time when the times of the Gentiles would really reach their apogee. And that is where we saw the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth, the false prophet and the Antichrist. And so we're seeing a parenthesis because God wants to give us a little grist for the mill of our faith. Now, I don't know how you navigate as a Christian, but I know things are heating up in our world. I was this morning going over to pick up the songs on my email to find out what we were going to be putting in our bulletin for the songs this morning, and I was plugging them in, and very interestingly enough, there was an article about Israel. Even today, it said 18 minutes ago. And it was something that happened just over the weekend, and it was an article that is entitled this. It says, Israel rejects the United States call to halt Jerusalem project. And I'm telling you, folks, this stuff is happening. What they're trying to do now under the Obama administration right now is they're trying to create a dual citizenship right smack dab in the center of Jerusalem. They're trying to split it down the middle, give half of it to the Palestinians and half of it to the Israelis. I mean, not only are they saying give up Bethlehem, which happened some time ago, and always kind of squeezing the Israelites, but now they're trying to bring them right into the center of Jerusalem and split it down the middle. And because Israel was beginning to build an apartment complex just on the east side of town in Jerusalem now, the United States called them into their office, called them to the mat over the weekend and said, you need to stop that project now. Because in their mind, they're thinking that's where the Palestinians are going to want to put up their center of their kingdom, their capital city, right in Jerusalem. Now that's our government. And that's in the news this morning. All I'm talking to you about in our study through this series, as well as the one on Wednesday night, it all just goes to bring home to our hearts that God is on the throne. He called the end from the beginning. He knew this was going to happen. And he has determined the outcome already. Now, folks, I want to be on the right side. And God wants me and you to be on the right side. When the rapture occurs, God says he's going to send strong delusion that they might believe a lie. God is going to turn things on their ear, if you will. But there will still be opportunity for salvation. That is the whole point, or at least one of the whole points of the tribulation. Not only does Israel at once begin to become the ones who do, in fact, glorify God on a national level and an international level, which is huge because this is something they never did in the Old Testament, which is what God called them out to do. But he will be glorified in his people in those 7 years. But also, it will be a time of salvation. And because of that, that means necessarily that God must give great effort to bring people to a faith and give them great foundation for their faith. Now, when you think of faith, you might think of some mystical thing. But a good synonym for the word faith is the word trust. And if you trust someone or something, it's because you have evaluated some issues, evaluated some information, and concluded this is true. That is what faith is. Faith is having evaluated the truth and come to solid conclusions that I'm going to walk in this direction. If you have a compass and you're lost in the woods, and you have a compass and you know home is north, when you find north, you walk with intentionality. You don't guess. You don't hope. You know. This says north. That's north. I'm going. Now, if your compass is in good working order, you're good. Folks, I just want to say to you this morning, our compass is in good working order. We don't have to tap it against the wall and wonder. It is in good working order. God's on task and on target. Now, chapter 14 represents for us God's recounting, if you will, of reasons why tribulational saints ought to not falter, ought to not stumble, ought to not have their knees buckled. And so when you see the catalog in chapter 14, what you're seeing here is God giving grist to the mill of the hearts of those who will be going through that tribulation. If you let your eye fall down in the chapter, in fact, it's the verse that's in your bulletin this morning. In verse 12, it's in your bulletin as a memory verse. You might want to utilize it as such, and I hope you think of doing that periodically. Verse 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints." Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That is the point of chapter 14. God is saying, here, this is the place. They're going to recount some things. They're going to see some stuff. They're going to be given some assurances, because when all of this stuff breaks loose on earth, they're going to have a tendency to want to despair. Can you imagine Daniel and his three friends being carted away from their homes in their teens, separated from their parents, cast into a beautiful, ornate room, but no way of knowing what's to be expected. Being castrated happened, it really did. They were made eunuchs in Babylon, teenage boys. They were made eunuchs in the kingdom of Babylon's Nebuchadnezzar king. And what we saw is that these men, even though they had reason to buckle and despair, they did not. They purposed in their hearts they wouldn't defile themselves with the king's meat. They were going to be solid for God. Now, guys, listen, we need to get solid for God in our day, don't you think? We need to kind of step up. We need to man up. We need to get involved in the task. That's part of what next weekend's all about. The weekend of witnessing is all about helping us get our minds around what this thing is that we really believe, because, frankly, it's a sad state of affairs when the church can't articulate their own faith. So we're doing everything we can this next weekend just to give you something, and I hope you'll take advantage. These people are going to be called upon, many of them, to die for their faith. And God gives them five different things to encourage them and help them find the place of victory. And I don't know where your place of victory is, and I know we still are satiated, but folks, the world is getting squeezed. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's kind of a concern to my heart, because I just read about this week. That this past week, there was a guy who was brought out, and I don't know what I did with that paper, but here it is. There was a fella. His name is Kevin Jennings. He is the founder of the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. That's what he's the founder of. He has been appointed to a high office in the Obama Education Administration Department. His job now is to help promote, I'm trying to think of what he said he called it, it's called Safe Schools. That's his job. He is in charge of promoting safe schools. And when they say safe schools, they mean safe schools by virtue of not anything ever being said that is contrary to the homosexual lifestyle. He is a high official. This is your world. This is our world. This is where your children will go to school. In the public school systems today, this is going to be the trend of the day. Now, where is our place of victory? The place of victory is found in our faith. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Where do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. The more you know, the more you will relax, even in spite of the foolishness of the shadow that is falling over this land. Folks, we're going to be all right. Jesus is coming. We get to get out of here early. Didn't you love getting out of school early? Woohoo! Don't you love it when there's a snow day? Woohoo! Don't got to go to work today. Folks, listen, there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus is going to rapture us out of here, and it is put before us in this passage. Look at verse 1. It says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 and which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. They are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. The first thing God is setting forth for the people who go through the tribulation is that He guarantees the safety of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. He guarantees it. And He says, you're going to see at the end that all 144,000 are going to be there. Though some of you may have to die who are in the tribulation, He basically is saying to those who plunder these scriptures, the 144,000 are God's vouchsafe, God's promise to you. He is showing them that God is able to preserve His own. And as He will preserve the 144,000, He also will preserve the souls of those who must be martyred and witness to their faith through shedding their blood or losing their heads. Folks, the Bible tells us that these 144,000 were sealed back in chapter 7. God, at the moment of the rapture, probably had a bunch of men standing in the wings. And by the way, they're men, they're not women. When God looked for witnesses in that day during the tribulation, He didn't call Minister at Ethel or Beatrice or whoever. He called men. Can I get a witness? You know, God didn't change His mind about whether women are to be in the ministry. And I don't care what all the churches in the world and how we all want to pander, God's word is forever settled. The Bible says that a bishop must be the husband of one wife. I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. Didn't change God's opinion at all, however things have gone in our world today. But the passage tells us the 144,000 are all there standing with Jesus on the Mount of Zion, Mount Zion. That means Jesus is on the scene here in this passage. He's here. That means He's arrived. That means we're looking a little bit ahead. It may be a 7-year look ahead for these people who are going to be reading it. They're going to be looking and they're going to say ahead that there's going to be Jesus when He's here. The 144,000 are still going to be here. That's in verse 1. Lo, I saw a lamb, and a lamb stood on Mount Zion. And with Him, 144,000. And this 144,000 Jews are going to be there that He sealed back in chapter 7. And those 144,000 Jews that were sealed are Jewish evangelists that God, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel, and they're going to be going to and fro throughout the whole earth. Right at the apex of the church age, the most missionaries that the world has ever known of as going out has been around 70,000. This is 144,000. Missionaries, Apostle Paul, people who were willing to be stoned with stone and cast into a pile of rubble and then to rise up and go back into the city and keep preaching. That kind of fervor. These are guys who are lit up for God because when they saw the rapture, it's almost as if we see them being sealed right out of the gate. And I don't know when they're sealed, but 144,000 are getting sealed. In my mind, I like to think it's going to be right when the rapture happens. You know, when the rapture happens, that doesn't mean it's only 7 more years left. That's not when it actually begins. There's going to be 7 years, but it's going to be when the man of sin is revealed that it begins to happen. That's when the clock starts ticking. And what we have is we have an interlude of chaos, and this man rises up out of the rubble of chaos, and he begins to bring some order, and things start moving, and the day of the Lord begins at that point. Now, what I'm saying is that when this rapture occurs, some of the Jews just might wake up. Maybe that's when it happens. I don't know. But I do know this. God's going to choose 144,000 out. They're going to be Jewish evangelists. They're going to be sealed, and nobody's going to be able to touch them mortally. And they're all going to be there at the end of the tribulation. God showing in miraculous form that even in the fire, like Nebuchadnezzar's day, when He cast the 3 children into the fire, the 3 were there, but there was a 4th man, like unto the Son of Man. He's going to preserve His own. And there's going to be a lot of them, 144,000. And the Bible says that they're all going to be standing on Mount Zion. And that means Jesus is on the scene, and it's probably right at the cusp, if you will, of the millennial kingdom. Verse 2 says, or it says that they have their name, the Father's name written in their forehead. That's where He sealed them. And I want to go back and stress this. The sealing was for the 144,000, not for all of the tribulation saints. Now, the sealing was upon the 144,000. Go back and read it in 7 if you want to check it out. because the ceiling is for those who can't be touched. That's how it was in the Old Testament. When Zechariah saw the angel go through the city of Jerusalem before the sword was going to be unleashed upon his own in judgment, God said, seal those who sigh and cry. Folks, when I read to you a moment ago about the gay lesbian situation overtaking, as it were, our public schools, does that make you want to sigh and cry? I mean, when is it going to come that we're going to sigh and cry? I've got another article that came out this morning and I told you about, and that's the Jerusalem trying to be split. Does that make you sigh and cry? It ought to make us sigh and cry because there are people we know that don't know Jesus yet. If nothing else. It ought to make us sigh and cry for our children and for the children of our neighbors who don't have a clue about what we're talking about here this morning. The Bible says that these people were sealed, this 144,000 were sealed in chapter 7, and the tribulation saints, many of them come out of great tribulation if you read the rest of chapter 7, and they come out and they will not have to worry about being scorched, they won't have to worry about being thirsty, they won't have to be worrying about being beheaded and killed anymore. That's part of the blessing of being a tribulation saint, is that they get to be with Jesus wherever He is. They're like the Gibeonites when Joshua was overtaking the promised land. They made a league with Joshua in stealth. They kind of tricked them. And they got to come out, but they became bearers of water and hewers of wood in the kingdom of God. And they became some of the most adamant worshipers of God, the Gibeonites did. They were Gentiles that were absorbed, if you will, and the tribulation saints answer to that. They are Gentiles who come out of great tribulation, and they become embraced by God and become very close to our Savior. Well, it says in verse 2, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne." Now, this is talking about all the tribulation saints. This is out of heaven. The other was on Mount Zion. This is out of heaven. Now, out of heaven, this voice is being heard because now heaven and earth become married a little bit here. Jesus is down here. It's almost like the doors are open up top. And what they hear is in these tribulation saints, or these sealed 144,000, hear the harpers. They hear the harping. They hear the singing. And the only ones, it says in verse 2, that can learn the song that those harpers are harping is the 144,000. At the end of verse 3, it says, "And no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." So they get to sing down here.